The Sword Run, a great ride for a great cause. Saturday, May 14th at Clarksburg City Park in Nutter Ford. Starting at 10 a.m., enjoy mouthwatering slow smoke barbecue, door prizes, raffles, and a chance to win a $500 grand prize. The Sword Run, a family-friendly charity event annually on the second Saturday in May. Even if you don't ride, come by for a great day at the park. Learn more at swordrun.com. Brought to you by 102.3 WFBY-FM, WDTV-5, Hyde's Meatpacking, and the Azusa Street Riders Motorcycle Ministry.
Experience the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Christian Apostolic Church invites you to celebrate Pentecost Sunday, May 15th. The evening celebration starts at 6 p.m. at 334 Glen Falls Road, Clarksburg, at the entrance to the Arlington Addition. Come expecting miracles, especially the baptism of the Holy Ghost, as recorded in Acts chapters 2, 8, 10, and 19. As Peter preached at the birthday of the church in Acts 2, the promise is unto all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. If you believe, you should receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For more info, visit cac.us.com or call 304-624-4459. That's cac.us.com or call 304-624-4459.
Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Last week, we brought you part one of a two-part series airing the comments that Reverend Rafael Cruz, the father of Senator Ted Cruz, made when he stopped by Music Fest 2016, an annual event sponsored by Indiana Bible College. As I mentioned last week, we are in a crucial presidential election year, and with the potential for our next president to stack the Supreme Court with nominees that match his worldview, as well as the topsy-turvy environment we live in which America is at a crossroads trying to decide if it's going to remain true to its founding principles or become something else entirely. I want you to listen to what Reverend Rafael Cruz has to say about voting, why it's important to vote, and important to use biblical criteria in deciding who we are voting for. He gives wonderful tidbits from our history and puts our election choice into a context of a biblical worldview. Please pray for America and consider these prescient comments by Reverend Rafael Cruz, father of Senator Ted Cruz.
Right after the 2012 election, George Barna, who does surveys among evangelical Christians, found out that in the 2012 election, there were 12 million evangelical Christians not registered to vote, and another 26 million that didn't vote. That's a total of 38 million evangelical Christians out of an estimated total of 89 million. That's about 40% of the church. We get what we deserve. Because you got to realize this. If the righteous are not voting, if the righteous are not even running for office, what is left? The wicked electing the wicked, and we get what we deserve.
Amen.
Now, let me shock you a little bit. Did you know that the Bible tells you exactly who to vote for? Let me put it in context. Moses has just crossed the Red Sea. And now Moses is in the wilderness trying to govern a couple of million people. The Bible says 600,000 men plus women and children. So 2 to 3 million people. And Moses is going bananas. Here comes his father-in-law, Jethro. And he says, Moses, what you're doing is not good. And in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, God speaks to Moses through Jethro. And God says, you select from among the people. Now note that God doesn't say, I will appoint. No. You select, which is the same as you elect. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "You choose wise men, men of understanding from all your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you." You choose. You elect. Let's get back to Exodus 18, 21. You select from among the people. And then God gives four qualifications. Able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. I'm going to repeat it for this side. Able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness.
All right.
Let's take them one at a time. Able men. What does that mean? That means elect candidates who are capable of doing the job. Let's stop electing the village idiot. Number two, such as fear God. Well, if you fear God, you obey God's precepts. We call that in America a Judeo-Christian ethic. What is a Judeo-Christian ethic? Well, first of all, it's a moral code of conduct depicted by the last six commandments in the Decalogue, the horizontal commandments. But it's also honesty, integrity, hard work, individual responsibility, the rule of law, and yes, free enterprise and limited government. And the Bible has a lot to say about all these. So able men, such as fear God. Number three, men of truth. Let me ask you a question. Aren't you sick and tired of men and women of lies in government? I mean, they tell you one lie to cover up the previous lie. And whether it is Fast and Furious, or the IRS, or Benghazi, or the NSA, or Ebola, or the missing emails, or money from foreign governments, or Planned Parenthood, or the Iran nuclear deal, is nothing but lies upon lies upon lies. Let me ask you another question. Have you ever had a candidate for public office tell you all these wonderful things they're going to do, only to get elected and do exactly the opposite? Anybody here? Now, that one is easy to fix if you follow this simple rule. Stop listening to their rhetoric and start looking at their record.
Amen. Yes.
They all have a record.
Yes, they do.
Stop listening to what they say. Because you know something? They're going to say what they think you want to hear.
That's true.
Instead, start looking at what they do and what they have done. Jesus put it this way: ye shall know them by their fruits. It's about time we do some fruit checking.
Amen.
You know, if you have a candidate that tells you, "I am pro-life, I'm the most pro-life man that has ever lived," and yet that man has been promoting abortion on demand for decades, even partial birth abortion, don't believe him.
Amen.
So able men, such as fear God, men of truth, number four, hating covetousness. Covetousness is greed. It's greed. You know, one of these candidates was on a television interview and he said, "Oh, I love greed. I love money. Grab and grab and grab and grab more." What does the Bible say about the love of money? Root of all evils. Run the other way. But I'll tell you what. In government, greed is much more than just about money. It is also about power and control. Politicians covet power. And they covet the control that power gives them over we the people. So now you know how to vet every candidate. Four qualifications. Able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness. But the scripture continues and it says, "And establish them as rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of ten." So the model you have is Moses, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. That's equivalent to federal government, state government, county government, local government. Right. Verse 22. And only take up to Moses, that is to the federal government, matters of great importance. Everything else you handle yourselves at the local level. That is the essence of federalism. That is the essence of limited government. That's Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. That's the Ninth Amendment and the Tenth Amendment. Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution is called the Enumerated Powers of Congress. 18 powers described in Article 1, Section 8. If it's not there, the federal government has got no jurisdiction, and all those powers, according to the Ninth and Tenth Amendment, are restricted to the states. Let me give you a couple of examples. The word marriage, nowhere in Article 1, Section 8. That means that not only is that decision on marriage above trying to supersede the Word of God, but it's also unconstitutional and unlawful. The Supreme Court had no jurisdiction. Let me give you another word that is not in Article 1, Section 8. It's the word education. Let me ask you a question. Does it make any sense to have a bunch of unelected bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. trying to tell us how to educate our children and grandchildren? Trying to impose on us something as insidious as Common Core, which has nothing to do with standards. Common Core is all about brainwashing our kids with secular humanism, with socialism, with values clarification, with situational ethics, is poisoning the mind of our kids. As a matter of fact, the last thing coming out of Common Core is they are telling parents now that they should not help their children with their homework because they don't want you to deprogram the garbage they are putting into their minds. Common Core is insidious. Needs to be gotten rid of. As a matter of fact, according to Article 1, Section 8, the whole Department of Education is unconstitutional, should be abolished, and education should come back to the state between the school board and parents and teachers and keep the government out of it. Now, let me just give you a little bit of a historical perspective. You know, when we think about America, America is such a unique country. Do you realize that America is the only country on the face of the earth founded on the Word of God? Founded by men and women seeking the freedom to worship Almighty God. And yet, even these deeply religious people that landed in Plymouth, Massachusetts, the first year that they were at Plymouth Plantation, they decided to try a communist experiment. They basically said, look, we got all this land before us. Let us all work this land together and let us share equally in what the land produces. Sounds very romantic, doesn't it? Well, that experiment was a total failure. And I'll tell you why it was a total failure. Because perhaps while the strong ones could plow 2 acres of land, maybe the weak ones could only plow a quarter of an acre. How long do you think it took before the strong ones said, I ain't doing any more than that guy over there? So nobody worked. They almost starved to death. But they were smart enough and flexible enough that at the end of that year, they went back to Governor Bradford. And they said, Governor, this didn't work. And Governor Bradford said, all right, each of you take your own plot of land, you work the land, you feed your family. And the free enterprise system was born in America the second year of its existence. Right. Now the question is this, if we tried it 400 years ago and it didn't work, why would we be dumb enough to try it again? That doesn't make any sense. Now, if you look at the Declaration of Independence, I count some 26 grievances against King George in the Declaration of Independence. But did you know that each and every one of those grievances were preached from the pulpits of America for 10 years prior to Jefferson writing them on the Declaration? It was preachers from the pulpit calling out King George for the atrocities that the British were perpetrating upon the colonies. Now the question that begs an answer is, where are those preachers today? Most of them are hiding behind their pulpits, scared to death of losing their tax exemption, although no church in America has ever lost its tax exemption for speaking on politics. Scared to death of not being politically correct. Well, as I've said before, they better become biblically correct. Scared to death of offending someone and having that someone leave the church and consequently income leave the church. God help us. It is about time that the pulpits of America open up with fire like they did in the 1700s. As a matter of fact, let me ask you a question. Do you know where Paul Revere was going when he came on his famous ride? The British are coming, the British are coming. And by the way, did you know that Paul Revere wasn't riding alone? There was another black patriot riding with him. His name was Wentworth Cheswell. Cheswell. Well, Paul Revere was going somewhere. He was going to the home of a pastor. A pastor by the name of Jonas Clark. At the home of Jonas Clark were two other patriots, John Hancock and Samuel Adams. Of course, you know what was our first battle for independence. It was the Battle of Lexington. But did you know that the Battle of Lexington was fought right outside Pastor Jonas Clark's church? And as a matter of fact, Pastor Clark and all the men from his congregation were part of that militia. At the Battle of Lexington, 8 colonies died. 7 of those 8 were members of Pastor Jonas Clark's church. Let me tell you about another pastor. His name was John Peter Muhlenberg. Pastor Muhlenberg was one of these many pastors that the British greatly feared. They called them the Black Robe Regiment because they all wore long black robes. Pastor Peter Muhlenberg is preaching at his church in Woodstock, Virginia. One day in early 1776, he's preaching on Ecclesiastes chapter 3. He concludes with verse 8 that says there's a time for war and a time for peace. And he says, this is a time for war. He opens his black robe, and as he opens it, it uncovers his colonel's uniform in the Continental Army. He looked at his congregation and he said, how many of you men will follow me to go fight for our independence? 300 men left that Sunday with Pastor Colonel John Peter Muhlenberg to go fight for our independence. You see, that is our history that has been erased from our history books because it's not politically correct. You know, when we think about America, when we think about the greatness of America, we need to realize that for millennia, the model for government has always been the same. This is a man-made model, not a God model, a man-made model. And that man-made model has always been authority flows from God to the government to the people. Even in the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, the people of Israel came before the prophet Samuel demanding, we want a king just like the nations around us have a king. As a matter of fact, God told Samuel, Samuel, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. So the people of Israel placed themselves upon that same man-made model. Authority flows from God to the government to the people. How did that work out? If you want to know how it worked out, read 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles. It worked out so bad that they ended up for 70 years in slavery in Babylon. Because you see, kings and tyrants have always used that model to justify their oppression upon the people. Their reasoning goes like this: I have the right to oppress you because my authority comes from God. But when those framers were on their knees, and I'll tell you what, I am absolutely convinced that the Constitution of the United States of America is a divinely inspired document. Because those deeply committed men of God were on their knees seeking revelation from God. And revelation is what they got. And God gave them a totally different model for government. No longer authority flows from God to the government to the people, but rather authority flows from God to the people to the government. From God to the people to the government. All authority under the Constitution is placed upon we the people. Now, when you understand that, you're going to get a totally different understanding of Romans 13. You know, I've had two experiences in two different churches, almost identical. A whole family tell me, well, we never voted in our lives because of Romans 13. If God appoints all authority, why vote? And I thought to myself, that's got to be the stupidest reasoning I've ever heard. You see, when you realize that the authority is you, the authority is not the person occupying that position in government. You are the authority that God has appointed under the Constitution. And with that authority comes an awesome responsibility for us to elect righteous leaders. You know, America is a very unique country. Do you realize we represent 4%? 4% of all the population of the world. And yet, we have been responsible for 85% of all the evangelism of the world. God has used America for a beacon of the gospel for the whole world. And God has placed America in our hands as stewards of this wonderful country. And we need to take this stewardship seriously. So with that authority comes an awesome responsibility for us to elect righteous leaders. You know, I've heard this from so many pastors, it makes me sick. And it is this, and this is a lie, but they say that. Politics cannot legislate morality. That's a lie. Politics legislates morality all the time. What do you think it was when they legislated prayer out of school? When they legislated the Bible out of school? When they legalized abortion? When now they're trying to destroy the traditional marriage? Is that not legislating morality? Let's go back to Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked beareth rule, people mourn. Well, if the righteous are not running for office, if the righteous are not even voting, all that is left is the wicked electing the wicked. And if the wicked are in authority, they are going to legislate their wicked brand of morality. Now, I'll tell you the good news, and then I'll tell you the bad news. The good news is there are many more of us than there are of them.
That's right.
The bad news is the us have been asleep at the wheel. There have been way too many Christians sitting on their pews singing hallelujah while the country is going down the drain and not even going to the voting booth, or sitting in their couches at home watching the Idiot Box instead of exercising their responsibility.
Who knows what church he's at?
The state of Indiana faces an unprecedented opportunity. The state of Indiana may very well decide who the next president of the United States will be.
May 3rd can change a lot of things.
Do you realize with the passing of Anthony Scalia that the Supreme Court stands in a very precarious balance? There are four ultra-liberal justices in the Supreme Court right now. One of the key decisions that Justice Anthony Scalia wrote the majority opinion on was called the Heller case, protecting our Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. My son defended that decision. It was 1-5-4. But if you look at the dissenting opinion of those four liberal justices, they said that the Second Amendment does not apply to individuals and that individuals have no rights to keep and bear arms. One more liberal justice with that mindset and we will all lose our rights to keep and bear arms. Now let me tell you why that is so important. Look at history. If you fail to learn the lessons of history, we're doomed to repeat them. Every dictator that has taken away the guns from the population have then used the guns to kill millions from the population. Stalin did it, Hitler did it, Mao did it, Pol Pot did it, they've all done it. And this government has been trying to do it for the last 7 years. Now, I'll tell you, if we get one more liberal justice in the court, we not only would lose our Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms, we will lose all of our religious liberties. Abortion on demand to the day of delivery will become the law of the land, and the traditional family as we know it will cease to exist. And as the family goes, so will society. That means we need to make sure that we have a commander-in-chief that will only nominate justices that are going to follow the Constitution and the rule of law, that will not legislate from the bench.
That's right.
A mistake in this area could cost us 30 years. We don't have 30 years.
It's true.
America is on the edge of a precipice. So I will ask you to take your responsibilities seriously and vote righteousness.
Amen.
Right.
Don't vote tradition, vote conviction.
Right.
Don't be swayed by rhetoric and empty words and emotionalism and hot air and theater.
Right.
Look at the record. Don't be swayed by rhetoric.
Right. Amen.
Ye shall know them by their fruits. Check the fruit. Exercise your responsibility. You know, in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, when those 120 were in the upper room, it says they were together in one accord.
Amen.
You know, we may be together here, but if we're not of one accord, it's of little value. We need to be of one accord.
That's right.
To understand that God commands us to vote for righteous candidates. To
Amen.
Vote according to the Word of God.
Amen.
Vote Bible. Vote Bible. Vote for those to uphold the principles upon which America was built. If we do that, we will see America again restored to that shining city on a hill, to the glory of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we bless you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Lord God, we confess that you are our King, our Master, our Savior, our Lord.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.
The Sword Run, a great ride for a great cause. Saturday, May 14th at Clarksburg City Park in Nutter Four. Starting at 10 a.m., enjoy mouthwatering slow smoke barbecue, door prizes, raffles, and a chance to win a $500 grand prize. The Sword Run, a family-friendly charity event annually on the second Saturday in May. Even if you don't ride, come by for a great day at the park. Learn more at swordrun.com. Brought to you by 102.3 WFBY-FM, WDTV5, Hyde's Meatpacking, and the Azusa Street Riders Motorcycle Ministry.